The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. Allow me to read. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. I read an article last week in a newspaper relating to a mother who gave birth to a disabled child. Kyung Wook Sun, in her sixth year of marriage, had her first child by way of test tube procedure. And 3 years later, she became pregnant with her second child. This was the first natural pregnancy after 9 years of marriage. Needless to say, the couple was overjoyed. And because the child kicked so hard while in her mother's womb, they thought perhaps a soccer player was about to be born. In order to give birth to a healthy child, Sun quit her job at a small store. In her 5th month of pregnancy, the hospital requested that she have her amniotic fluid tested for a possible genetic disorder in the child. But the result of the test shocked them like a bolt of lightning. Her child was suffering from Edwards syndrome. The illness results from having an extra chromosome 18 of the total of 23 pairs of chromosomes. The hospital told her that the child would have a heart and lung disorder and that her child's finger and toes would be twisted and underdeveloped. Even if the child survived birth, the child would not be able to live for more than a few years. The mother could not believe the test results. While she was still in shock, the hospital asked her to come in and have an abortion. The hospital explained to her that almost all mothers decided to have an abortion if diagnosed with such disorder. People around her also tried to persuade her to have an abortion, telling her that she would not be able to care for a child who only had a few years to live. She thought in her mind over and over, but isn't this child a life given to me by God? Not being able to overcome her sister's insistence, she went to the hospital, but was not able to go through with the abortion. Sun finally decided she would have the child, and she found peace of mind. She was encouraged by her doctor, who said that she would not regret her decision once she had the child. Sun listened to classical music and talked to her child while in her womb. She named the child Jeongwon, which means the world's most beautiful child. Her princess Jeongwon was born in the spring of 2008. The child had to go to the critically ill ward as soon as she was born. She could hardly breathe and had a hard time swallowing even water. Various tubes were attached to her body, although she weighed less than 1 kilogram. Artificial respiration system, nutrient, and other tubing. Sun came to the ward each day to feed the child her milk through a tube. After 100 days, her 100th day picture was taken while she was in an incubator. When she gained some weight during the fall, Sun persuaded the doctors to allow her to take her child home with an oxygen mask and other tubes still attached to her child. However, within a few days, her child contracted pneumonia. Those few days were the only time Sun had with her child. On a cold, windy day in December of the same year, Jeongwon's heart stopped beating. It was only then that Sun was able to hold her baby. After taking away all the tubes that had been attached to her child, Sun firmly embraced her child, whose warmth could still be felt. Sun said she saw her child smile just once. She smiled in an odd way as if she recognized her own mother. Sun still prepares a birthday meal on the spring day her child was born. When asked by the reporter whether she regretted having the child, she answered that she was filled with happiness just by being able to see her child and that it was a bearable experience. She said she was sorry for having gone to the hospital thinking about having abortion. Mothers protect their child for 10 months in their womb, whatever the health condition of the child. No matter what defects the child is born with, the mother does her best to care for her child. In the same way, our Lord takes care of the church. Today's main text teaches this to us. Apostle Paul was able to thank God and pray joyfully when he thought of the members of the church in Philippi, because from the beginning of the Philippi church and until the time of Paul's letter, the members of the Philippi church had continued to participate in Paul's missionary work. Apostle Paul was a self-sufficient missionary. In the Jewish tradition, the head of the family had the duty to teach his children two things. One was to teach them the Jewish law, and the other was to teach them a skill. Apostle Paul is thought to have been taught the skill of tent making. Such skill was a very advanced skill which enabled the holder to a larger income compared to other professions. Apostle Paul was a great scholar and a Pharisee. He, however, not only made use of his scholarly learning during his missionary work, but also his tent-making skills, which he acquired during childhood. Chapter 20 of Acts tells us that Apostle Paul earned not only his own missionary expenses, but the missionary expenses of others by making as a tent maker. The term self-sufficient missionary and tent maker find their origins from such fact. Apostle Paul founded many churches, but the only church that sent him money for his missionary work was the Philippi church. Apostle Paul financed his living expenses, transportation costs, and other missionary work-related costs by making tents. However, would not Apostle Paul have been filled with gratitude when his prayer to God at a time of need for money for his missionary work was answered by the Philippi church sending him money? Verse 6 is like a bright diamond in our faith and the North Star shining brightly in the dark night. It testifies as follows: being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This verse tells us how important and precious our faith is and what today's church should be focusing on. Paul does not specify what the good work refers to in this verse, but on the surface, it may refer to the offerings and what was sent via Epaphrodito if considered along the context of verse 5. If it is so, Paul is saying that even if I become imprisoned during my mission at Colossia, please send the offerings. If I become unable to move after being stoned at Lystra, I believe that you will send money for my treatment, and I am confident that you will send me the offerings until I die. Therefore, it is appropriate to think that The good work refers to the God's history of salvation at the Philippian church. God will continue His work, His good work of salvation for the people of the Philippian church without giving up until the end. Paul mentions that there is someone who began the good work at Philippian church, and it would be a silly question to ask who that is. Paul does not say that he began the Philippian church. He does not mention how much he had been beaten when he healed the demon-possessed fortune-teller girl, and he does not tell how painful it was in the Philippian prison. Paul does not put the focus on himself. That is the consistent attitude of Apostle Paul. When Paul was reporting on his first mission trip of 2 years at the Church of Antioch, he must have had many things to tell. He could have mentioned the blinding of the magician Bar-Jesus at Paphos, the painful recovery from the endemic illness at Perga in Pamphylia. And the life-risking journey across the Taurus Mountains to Pisidia, Antioch, all night long. And how he healed the congenitally crippled man at Lystra and was thought to be Hermes and Barnabas Zeus. How he was stoned by the crowd from Antioch and Iconium, all were pathetic stories. When Paul reports his mission, however, he testifies as follows in Acts chapter 15, verse 27 and 28. Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported about their trip, telling all that God had done and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. And they stayed there with the believers in Antioch for a long time. The reporting of his mission is done in one single verse, and the focus is not on Paul himself, but on God. The reason why Paul and Barnabas was able to do on the mission trip was not because they had volunteered, but because the Holy Spirit had sent them to it. Paul had not intended to conduct his ministry at Philippi. However, the Holy Spirit blocked his journey to Asia Minor and did not allow Paul to move on to Bithynia. Paul sees a vision of a man telling him to come to Macedonia. Acts chapter 16, verse 10 testifies Paul's reaction as follows. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, for we could only conclude that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Apostle Paul had not planned to go to Philippi, but acknowledged his mission through the vision he saw. To acknowledge originally means to connect. His plan was different from God's plan, but he connected the toe of his plan to the head of God's plan. On Sabbath, Paul meets women in prayer and tells them about the words of God, and he can meet the person who began it there as well. Acts chapter 16, verse 13 and 14 testifies as follows. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we supposed that some people met for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had come together. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple clothes. She was a worshiper of God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. There were many women by the riverbank, but only one person among them, Lydia, had her heart touched by the Lord, and that is how her house became the starting point of the Philippian church. After healing the demon-possessed girl, after being beaten and imprisoned, there was someone who shook the prison door. Paul was not Babylon, and nor did he plan an escape like the main character in the Shawshank Redemption. There was someone who began it all. After stopping the prison guard from killing himself, the guard runs to Paul and Silas and asks. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The word for teacher in Greek is curious, the Lord. The prison guard did not think much of Paul and Silas singing hymns to God. However, suddenly, there was a great earthquake and the prison was shaken to the foundations and all the doors flew open. Thus, the prison guard thought of Paul and Silas as God in human form and asked about being saved. Paul answers as, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with your entire household." What this verse is saying is that the person who opened the prison door and began the work is not me. The person you should believe in is the Lord Curious, Jesus. If you believe in him, your household will be saved. The evidence why Paul was confident to mention the existence of someone who began to the Philippian church is because his life was like that. Apostle Paul did not intend to live his life like that at all. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians. If the Lord did not come and made it possible for him to begin a new life, he would still be the leader in persecuting Christians. He did not attempt to become a Christian. Nevertheless, he was able to testify that it is good to live for Christ and die for Christ because there was someone who began the good work in Paul. The reason why we are here is because there is someone who began the good work in us as well. I'll read verse 6 again. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The scene where he who began his good work of salvation is in us. Salvation and gospel not only change people morally, enlighten them culturally, or cultivate their nobility. God's work of salvation makes people see their inward beings straightly, not our outward beings. Apostle Paul was admirable enough according to his background, but he was next to a monster to the Lord. When he who began a good work touches us, we became able to see the reality of things. It seemed that no one could complete you and everybody was happy if they follow your rules. Now, however, you realize that how hideous you are and there is no sinner like you. And your point of view changes as God begins His work within you. When I met God personally, I realized how beautiful this world was. Flowers, trees, sky, and stars I saw at the moment were so beautiful that I almost cried. Non-believers can see flowers, and they may have more knowledge about them than I have. But I see the God's mystery and His creation that they couldn't saw in flowers. The writer of Psalm sings like this: When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? This confession is only possible for those whom God began His work with. They looked at not only sky, the moon and stars, but also the work of His fingers. It was because there was God's vestiges. I'll read verse 6 again. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It says that He who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't say the day when Rudy or prison guards and his family secure Philippian church. And he was sure that Philippian church members would go to heaven even if they disappear as they die. This is the day when God's work of salvation is completed. God has been working from the moment when Adam and Eve committed the sin until new heaven and earth is completed. People of faith in the Bible have lived as they focus on the day. That is what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph did. Moses, David, and many prophets did too. Jesus and apostles did the same thing. The point of words Jesus and His apostles preached was the kingdom of God. If God's eyes are on the day of Christ Jesus, our eyes should be on it too. But our eyes are on the day of ours. That's in our way to growing and maturing of faith. When the Christianity came to Korea for the first time, our eyes were on the day of Christ Jesus. We barely survived and suffered relentless, coercive Japanese annexation. Nothing got better even after liberation. We had annual farm hardship period and Korean War. The poverty from generation to generation seemed never ending. They prayed with tears at church to get cured because they were too poor to go to hospital. And they desperately prayed like this: Lord, let me sustain my livelihood. I need money to study. Please let me study. That was why they looked forward to the day. He listened to our prayer and let us be rich in a short time, which is unparalleled in the world. He made Korean churches grow a lot. Then our faith became deteriorated, and our eyes moved to this place on this day from the place on the day. We desperately clung to God, but now we trust money more than God and believe what we are bossed about. So Korean church became wrecked, and the name of the Lord was plumbed, the death of Christians. Ugly rumors from churches here and there make Christians not be able to look up. Now, Korean church looked like Jeongwon, born with handicaps. As Jeongwon barely breathed and swallowed water, it has lost its strength to grow. God's words are not properly provided, and words on health, positive thinking, and affirmative book chapters written by celebrities replaced the Bible. Some people even say Korean church will die in 10 or 20 years. We are, however, hopeful and not depressed because God started Korean church and He will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. The rehabilitation and the growth of Korean church and our faith is up to whether our eyes are on the day of Christ Jesus. Human beings do not have the same point of view. Some people live with the viewpoint of a day. Some might have one with months or years. People who live yesterday just live days of yesterdays. However, although we live today, but we should look forward to tomorrow. When we look at today, we cannot live tomorrow's. What Korean church and we need most is to change our point of view. It is the recovery of Christianity, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, your way of working that made Apostle Paul go to Philippi and start the Philippian church was mysteriously amazing. You granted your grace to us. You let the Bible is translated into Korean, in Manchuria, in Japan, even before the missionaries came to Korea. Thank you. You worked on us and made us see the day of Christ Jesus by sending innumerous missionaries when we had to live hopelessly under the Japanese occupation. Moreover, you got rid of the poverty for thousands of years and led Korean church has fast-growing unparalleled in the world. But Father, we don't know what to do because our faith has been deteriorated and our eyes on the place on the day move to this place of this day, even if we can boast about it. However, we even more thank you because it doesn't mean that you abandon Korean church and us, but it means that you keep carrying it unto completion. Let us each 100th anniversary memorial church member put their eyes on the day of Christ and obey God day by day. As a result, let us provide better environment with our descendants in having their faith. Let your name be on the highest place on this earth. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.